Good morning, everybody. All right. We began Sefer Shoftim last week, and the fundamental principle that we discussed last week was the meaning of the word Mishpat. And we explained that the meaning of the word Mishpat is a great deal more than judgment or justice or sitting in judgment or executing justice, but Mishpat is really the way in which the world is to be conducted according to God, and therefore the people who act during Sefer Shoftim are called judges, because the word Shofet means to return the balance that's supposed to exist in this world between the weak and the strong, to redress the grievances of the Yatom and the Almanah, to make sure that this is a world in which people can live and be protected and be safe. This is all part of Mishpat, which means that in the biblical understanding of Mishpat, Mishpat also means to save, to deliver, to come to the aid and the assistance of. And therefore this was what the Shoftim did. God gave them into the hands of their enemies, and he brought the Shoftim Vayoshi'um, and they saved them. The Shoftim were the saviors because they returned the balance, the izun that should exist in the world. We're going to begin with Shofet number four. The first of the Shoftim was Othniel ben Kenaz. God had given the Jewish people into the hands of Kushan Rishathaim, the king of Aram, from whom they suffered for a period of 8 years. He saved them through the Shofet Othniel ben Kenaz, and the land was at peace for 40 years. Following him, there's the story of Eglon Melech Moab, Eglon king of Moab, who conquers parts of Eretz Yisrael, or in a sense, he becomes the oppressor of the Jewish people for a period of 18 years. Eglon Melech Moab is also known as the great Zeta of Rut. Rut HaMoaviyah, Rut who was going to come from Moab. The Shofet who arises to save and to deliver the Jewish people from the hands of Eglon Melech Moab is Ehud ben Gera. Ehud ben Gera, we're told the whole story, he was the lefty, left-handed, and he had his a spear on his right-hand side. He came in to Eglon Melech Moab, and unbeknownst to anybody, he pulled out his sword, his spear, his knife, and he ran Eglon Melech Moab through, and he was the one who saved Israel from the hands of Moab. There was a period of peace for 80 years. But Tishko Ta'aretz, the land was quiet for a period of 80 years. Then in one line, we're told about Shamgar ben Anat. Shamgar ben Anat really gets one pasuk mention in Tanakh at the end of Perek Gimel in Shoftim. He is also going to be mentioned again in the Shira of Devorah, the Song of Devorah. So here we are at the end of the third Perek in Shoftim. The last pasuk in the third Perek is V'acharav Hayah Shamgar ben Anat. After him, after Ehud ben Gera, came Shamgar ben Anat. Vayachet Plishtim Sheish Me'ot Ish B'malmad Bokar, and he smote the Plishtim, 600 men. He killed B'malmad Bokar with a staff that a shepherd uses to lead the sheep. Vayoshak Gamhu et Israel, he also saved the Jewish people. The Gamhu means that the salvation that came through Shamgar ben Anat was not complete. He also added something to the salvation. This brings us up to chapter four. Now, what is interesting is the first two oppressors were really nations that lived outside of Eretz Yisrael. Kushan Rishathaim, who was the king of Aram Naharaim, Mesopotamia. The second was Eglon Melech Moab, king of Moab, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. In the days of Shamgar ben Anat, already we begin to hear about trouble with the Plishtim. Plishtim are already not really part of Eretz Yisrael. They're living along the coast down to the south, the Gaza Strip. They are going to become increasingly a source of great, great trouble for the Jewish people from the dark times of Shamgar ben Anat, and it's going to peak in the days of Shimshon, and then in days of Shmuel. Shaul and David are going to wage war against the Plishtim. David is going to go out, little David, with his slingshot, is going to go out against Goliath HaPlishti. The Plishtim are going to become increasingly a source of serious problems for Klal Yisrael. In the days of in Perek Dalet already, we find that the problems are coming from within. It's not Moab, it's not Aram Naharaim. Take a look, Perek Dalet. Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael la'asot hara b'yinei Hashem. Children of Israel continue to do that which was evil in the eyes of God. The Ehud mate, and Ehud had died. Ehud had already passed away. And even though Shamgar ben Anat has already been mentioned, it seems to indicate that while the Shofet was Ehud ben Gera, Shamgar ben Anat also functioned on some level during the time of Ehud ben Gera. God gave them over into the hands of Yavin, the king of Canaan, Asher Molach b'Chatzor. Now here we are talking about Jews suffering from the population living within Eretz Yisrael. This is an intifada of major proportions. Chatzor, and we are talking about Chatzor in the Galil, north of Tveria, north of Rosh Pina, and the fact is that there are the ruins of ancient Chatzor. Chatzor HaGlili was a major kingdom. Here we're talking about Yavin, the king of Canaan, whose seat of government was in Chatzor, and the Tsar Tzvaot, commander-in-chief of his forces, Sisra, who yoshev b'Charoshet HaGoyim. Sisra was encamped in Charoshet HaGoyim. Charoshet HaGoyim is at the western end of Enek Yisrael. Everything that's going to take place now, just try and imagine the picture. If you... I don't know, have you been in Emek Yisrael lately? In other words, if you go up to around Chadera or Zichron Yaakov and you turn right, going eastward. So you're going to pass Yokna'am, Megiddo, Ta'anach. You're going to pass the most beautiful country that you've seen in just the lush fields of Emek Yisrael. Then all of a sudden you're going to see rising out of the Emek Yisrael, you're going to see Har Tavor, Mount Tavor, Kvar Tavor is there. You start moving up out of the Emek up to Afula, Natsrat Ilit, Migdal HaEmek. From the western end of Emek Yisrael until the eastern end, and it ends at all of these places, at Tavor, Har Tavor, Migdal HaEmek, Natsrat Ilit, Afula. This is where the struggle is going to take place between Sisra on the one hand, Devorah and Barak on the other. Now, if you think that I'm a travel guide, and I know the country like the palm of my hand. So listen, if you have two daughters living for a number of years in Natsrat Elit and one still living in Migdal HaEmek, and from their living room in Natsrat Elit we were able to see Har Tavor right, just looking straight in the face over there. And of course, when I take a look at Har Tavor, I would have images of Devorah and Barak coming down the mountain, and it's all going to be described over here. That's the scene of the struggle that's going to take place in chapter Dalet. Now, by Yitzhak Ubnei Yisrael, El Hashem, the children of Israel, cried out to God, Ki Tisham Meyot Rechev Barz Elohi, had 900 chariots of steel. He oppressed the Jewish people with strength. We're talking, it's difficult now. It is very, very difficult. The period of time is long. It's 20 years. It is from an indigenous population right in Eretz Yisrael, and they are well armed. 900 chariots of Barzel. It is with Pasuk 4 that this week's Haftorah begins. I know that this is a class in Shoftim, but it just so happens that this week is Shabbat Shira, and according to most opinions, the Haftorah begins with Udvorah Isha Neviah until the end of chapter 5. That means the entire story of Devorah and then the song of Devorah, both are part of the Haftorah. The prose and the poetry, and as we say, the story and the song. And of course there are amazing similarities in the description of what happens in this battle to what happens in Parshat Bishalach. There are many similarities. There are similarities in terms of the fact that a woman or women act in the Haftorah as well as they do in the Seder. It is after the children of Israel sing the song of Az-Yoshe Bateitze, Miriam is the one who goes out, and they and all of the women sing the song of the Shira. And of course, the Chazal tell us that this was extremely unique and unusual, because here it says right after the Shira, Vatitach Miriam Hanaviah. Miriam Hanaviah, she is also referred to as Miriam, who is the prophetess. She was the sister of Aaron. She took the tof. What's a tof? A tof is like
a timbrel.
All right, in her hand. Vatitzena kol anoshim achareh. All the women followed her. Betupim. So it's Miriam and all of the women. And of course, Chazal tell us how unique and how special it was. The women are big balei emuna. Women have faith. And therefore, while the men were preparing the matzah, there was a reversal of roles. The men came out with the matzah, and the women prepared. You understand? They're on their way out. So what do you take? What do you take with yourself? Of all things, they take instruments, because they know that something great is going to happen, and they're going to sing. In the Haftorah, there are three women who play a major role. Of course, Devorah the Neviah. There's also going to be Ya'el, Eshet Chever Hakeni, Ya'el, from the family of Yitro, who is going to kill Sisra. And there is another woman whose name is not mentioned.
The mother of Sisra.
And for that matter, if we're talking about the mother of Sisra, it means all of the ladies in waiting around her as well. She becomes the great tragic figure, and to her, she is a woman that it's worthwhile just to devote all the shit just to her. But we'll see how far we get. You're right. She says her heart goes out to the mother of Sisra. Never. She said it. She meant it that way. All right. The mother of Sisra is very, 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 very special. But all right. Now, while we will see that there are many similarities between what is described here and what is described in the parasha, we're going to find out that the waters of Nahal Kishon sweep away the enemies of Israel. They're washed and wiped away by water, just as it happens in the Sedra. And we're going to read Psukim that the verbal similarity is so striking that you have no choice, but as you are reading, you automatically have to begin thinking of Parashat B'Shalach. And we'll come to those Psukim in a few minutes. But there are also significant differences, and I think it is the differences that are really the reason why this is chosen as the Haftorah for Parashat B'Shalach. Usually we assume here Shira and there Shira. Here there was salvation and there was salvation. Here there were 600 chariots, here there are 900 chariots. So many similarities. But really what's most important is not the similarity. I believe the reason why it's chosen is because of the profound difference between the two. The profound difference. And we had once discussed this idea in another context. What is very often forgotten is the fact that in Parashat B'Shalach there are two major confrontations, two great struggles. There's a struggle at the beginning of the Sedra, and there is a struggle at the end of the Sedra. At the beginning of the Sedra, it is, of course, the Jewish people who are caught between Mitzrayim on the one side, the sea on the other. God splits the sea, they go through in dry land, come out on the other side, and they sing. But there's another struggle. At the end of the Sedra, it says, Vayavar Amalek. Amalek came by Yilochem in Yisrael to Rephidim, and he waged war with the Jewish people in Rephidim. Moshe said to Yoshua, Bechar Alonu Anoshim, choose men that say Yilochem by Amalek and go out and wage war with Amalek. Vacha, tomorrow, Anochi Nitzav al Rosh HaGibor, I will be standing on the top of the mountain, Umateho Lekim Biyadei, and the staff of God is in my hand. Yoshua did exactly as Moshe did, told him to wage war with Amalek. And as Moshe lifts and raises his hand, Israel is able to prevail over their enemies. As Moshe's hand goes down, the enemy prevails. At the end of the story is, Vayachalosh Yehoshua Amalek Tatama Lefichorev Yehoshua, weakened Amalek and his people Lefichorev by the sword. Remember that, Lefichorev. One of those things that I only noticed now. Watch, in a few minutes it's going to be significant. What happens at the end of that struggle? At the end of that struggle, no Shira. No Shira, no song. Why no song? But Moshe does something else. Watch. Yomer Hashem al Moshe. God said to Moshe, Ksov Zotzi Karom B'Sefer, write this as a commemoration in a Sefer of the Sim Bosni Yeshua and put it into the ears of Yeshua. I am going to destroy the memory of Amalek from beneath the heaven. Here comes Moshe's response. Vayiven Moshe Mizbeach. Moshe built an altar. Vayikra Shemar Hashem Nisi, and he called the name of this altar, God is my banner, God is my salvation, God is my miracle, is my nes. Vayomer, he said, Ki yad al keis yom ilcham al Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. He said that God's throne and his name are not complete until ultimately the evil of Amalek will be destroyed from beneath the heavens. Moshe doesn't build another Mizbeach in the 40 years in the desert aside from the Mizbeach, the altar that's going to be built in the Mishkan. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov built altars. Every major event in their lives, by even Avram, Mizbeach, Rasha, Avram builds a Mizbeach. Yitzchak builds Mizbechot. Yaakov, the night that he has that dream where he sees the ladder going heavenward, the angels of heaven going up and down, gets up in the morning, he takes the stones and he makes a Matzevah, a Mizbeach. The significance of Moshe's Mizbeach over here is the following. What's the big difference between the first struggle in B'Shalach and the last struggle in B'Shalach? As we've pointed out so often, the first one was clearly an act of God. It was Pele. It was a wonder. No one had to be told that this was the hand of God. How did all of Israel respond? What did they say? Ze Keli Van Veil. Hello, Keyovi Vad Ramenu. This is my God. Rosa Shif Kalayama, maid servant at the sea, saw more than all of the Nevi'im. There was no doubt about it in anybody's mind that this is the hand. Both hands, the Yad HaChazaka, the Zroa Netuya of God. The struggle at the end of the Sedra is man acting and God is there in concealment. What the children of Israel need is the editorial comment of Moshe. After the battle, Moshe builds a Mizbeach and he calls the name of the Mizbeach Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle. You should know we went out there, we fought, we waged war, there were moments at which it seemed we were losing, and then we got stronger, then we retreated, we withdrew, and then we attacked again, and ultimately we weakened the enemy, and the enemy ran off in disarray. The one who determined the outcome of that struggle was God. Here is a struggle that takes place b'derech hateva, in the normal way in which wars take place. Here they have to be told, you should know, this is the hand of God. What I say therefore is, there's going to be a struggle here. Dvorah and Barak and 10,000 men who are on the front lines. We're going to see that there are going to be other men behind the lines. There's going to be a struggle. And the struggle is going to be won by the children of Israel. What they need to be told now is that it is not by our strength or by our might, but it is Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle. The Shiras Devorah, I say, is not chosen as the Haftorah because there's a Shira in Bishalach and there's a Shira of Devorah. Shira, Shira, very nice. So you have a Shabbos that's Kulo Shira. No, that's not the point. Do you know what Shiras Devorah is? Shiras Devorah is the song that is the comment on the second battle, the Battle of Amalek. And Shiras Devorah, therefore, is the song that the children of Israel sing after every struggle, every armed battle against an enemy. In Shiras Devorah, we're not going to talk about miracles. We're not going to talk about, she's not going to describe great wonders that very happened. She's going to talk about the stars, the very stars, waging war with Sisera. But what she's talking, no stars waged war with Sisera. It was God acting in concealment. Jews went out to wage war. The Shiras Devorah is the song that is sung for every struggle from which we emerge victorious. It is chosen to follow immediately the last few psukim of the Sedra. It is related to the last few psukim, the struggle against Amalek, not the struggle against Mitzrayim. It is the unsung song. The song that had not been sung by Moshe is now sung by Dvorah. Yes? That's a separate question that we would have to deal with. What she's asking is the Bishalach. Bishalach is read also on the seventh day of Pesach. Seventh day of Pesach was the night of Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. And there is another Shira that is read as a Haftorah. The Shira there is the song that is sung by David toward the end of his life after all of his battles are over. And I believe what we'd have to investigate over there is the following. Shiras Devorah is in a sense a Shira B'lashon Rabim in the plural. Shiras David is all singular, where the Jew sees himself as personally having been saved by God who protects him. So that there's a completely different dimension to the song of David.
the song of David is after a lifetime of struggle and all sorts of struggle. And David, the man, sees himself as having been saved and protected and sustained by God. So that there are differences. Why one is chosen at one time and why at the other, still a subject for discussion, but we have to see the differences. And I think the most significant one is the fact that Shir HaZmorot is in the plural. It's a Klal Yisrael song, and David's is the song of an individual. And every individual, I mean, if we are people who say Tillim, then every individual has to see himself in the guise of a David. We have to be able to see in our own personal struggles that God is with us. Now, but there are also other significant differences between Shir HaZmorot and Shir HaMoshe. Oz Yoshir Moshe Uvinei Yisrael Et Hashir Azot. Everybody sings. Israel and Moshe, everybody sings. Here, our Shira is only Devorah and Barak Ben Avinom Vatoshar. In chapter 5, the first pasuk, Vatoshar Devorah Uborak Ben Avinom Bayomahu Leimor. Now, incidentally, this enforces what I have been saying up until now. At the Yam, everybody saw, everybody experienced, everybody was convinced, there were no doubts. There was an outburst of song that came from all. They all sang together with Moshe. They had all been part of the same experience. They all were able to say Zeh Keli. Here, by Devorah and Barak are in a sense taking the place of Moshe. Moshe at the end of the Seder builds the Mizbeach in order to teach the children of Israel, Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle, he is the one who determined the outcome of that battle. Devorah and Barak ben Avinam are now taking, they are a different position, they're putting on different hats. Warriors, prophetess, judge, now turned educator. She is singing this song and she is now giving the editorial comment to everything that took place during the course of this struggle. And she's telling them who it was that was really acting out there on the field of battle. There's another interesting thing. Oz Yashir is the way the Shira begins in the Sedra. Oz Yashir, now compare that with Vatoshar Devorah. And Devorah sang. One is past and one is really future. Oz Yashir, Moshe sings. He is singing not only about events that have passed, but the song of Moshe is really a song for the future. Because in the song, the second half of the song of Moshe, the Oz Yashir, is a prayer, a prophecy, in the form of a song, a prayer and a prophecy that is all directly toward the future. Tv'emo v'titoemo, bring the Jewish people and plant them in Eretz Yisrael. Ad yavor amcha Hashem, ad yavor amzu kanita, until they cross into Eretz Yisrael, until your people cross into Eretz Yisrael twice. And the Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking and describing and prophesying about the first entry of Jews into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua, and the second entry in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, so that it faces the future, whereas Vatoshar Devorah is all talking about the past. She is explaining to them the events of the past. You have to know that whatever took place was the work of God, the hand of God. And there's another interesting thing, a Meshach Chachma. You have to hear a Meshach Chachma all the time. The Shira begins, Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael et Hashira Hazot, this song, LaHashem, to God. Vatosha Devoro Ubara Ben Adunoam Bayomahu Lemar, it doesn't say they sang LaHashem to God. You know, as I ask the question, an answer of my own occurs to me. Devorah and Barak ben Avinom are really singing for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. They want to teach them what happened. Moshe is singing LaHashem, to God, a song of praise to God.
Dvorah Barak is, yes, she is thanking God,
but she wants Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, and we find it in a number of places, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miyached Shmo Al Hara'ah. God does not have his name mentioned for things that are bad. In Shiraz Devorah, Devorah is also going to utter a curse. She is going to curse those Jews who did not come to the aid and the assistance of their fellow Jews in battle. She's going to talk about Reuven, who was on the other side of the Jordan. Liflagot Reuven gedolim chikike leg, she says, the fact that Reuven remained separate and he didn't come, that requires a great deal of thought. Reuven, lama yashavta bein hamishpatayim lishmoa shrikot hatarim. Reuven, why did you sit over there amongst the cattle and the sheep, lishmoa, to hear shrikot atarim, the noise, the sounds that come from the sheep and from the cattle? In a sense, he remains over there, doesn't become involved. She even curses. She says, Oru, Meiroz, the people, Pasuk 23, Oru, Meiroz, Oma Malach Hashem, Oru, Orur Yoshveha. Cursed are the inhabitants of the city of Meiroz, Ki lo bol le'ezrat Hashem, because they did not come, le'ezrat Hashem, to the assistance of God, le'ezrat Hashem b'gibodim, to help God and his mighty ones. She's saying very sharp things, and here God's name is not to be mentioned. A curse on the Jewish people. So therefore, Meshach Chachma says, while in the Shira it says Oz Yoshe Moshe Menei Yisrael Hashira Azot LaHashem, here it does not say LaHashem. Since I already pointed to this pasuk, Ki lo vo'u le'ezrat Hashem, they did not come to the assistance of God. What does that mean? What does that mean, le'ezrat Hashem? You know, God needs the people of Meiroz to come and help God. So you should know, a similar idea is one that appears in the Shira, and it is an idea that is expressed a number of places in Tanakh. In the Shira, in the Shira it says the following. Yemincha Hashem ne'edari bakoch, your right hand God is graced with strength. Yemincha Hashem, your right hand God tirats oyev, crushes the enemy. Uberov ga'oncha, and with your great majesty, Taharos, you shatter Komecha, those who rise up against you. That's in the Shira. Says Rashi over here, in the Shira, and then I'm going to come back to Shira's Devora. Very important comment. Rashi in the Shira, Taharos, Uverov Gongcha, Taharos Komecha. Your great majesty, you destroy those who rise up against you. Says Rashi, Tomid ato horeis komecha. You constantly destroy, you shatter those who rise up against you. Hakomim negdecha. Umi heim hakomim kenegdo. Who are those who rise up against God? Elu hakomim a Yisrael. Those who rise up against Israel, they are the ones who are considered by God as ones who rise up against him. V'chein hu omer, and so also it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, ki hinei oyevecho yehem moyun, your enemies make great noises. Who are the enemies of God? The enemies of Israel are the enemies of God. Umahi hahem yo, what is the noise that they're making? Al amcho ya'arimu sod,
against your people, they have secrets. And that's why they are called a Yevav Shel Makom, the enemies of God. Where else do we have this? Vayihibin Soah Ha'aron Vayom HaMoshe. Kuma Hashem V'yafutsu, arise God V'yafutsu Ayivecha, your enemies will be dispersed. V'yanusu Misanecha Mipanecha, those who hate you will flee from before you. Who are Ayivecha? Who are Misanecha? Ayivei Yisrael, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of God. Those who hate Israel hate God. Same thing is being said over here. The same idea is being expressed by Devorah. Ki lo bo le'ezra Hashem, they did not come to the aid and the assistance of God, says Rashi over here in the Shira. Kiviyachol, in a manner of speaking, what the pasuk is saying, shemishu ozer et Yisrael, whoever helps Israel, ka ozer et hashchina, it is as though he is helping God himself. The enemies of Israel are the enemies of God. The ones who assist Israel are therefore the ones who come to the aid and the assistance, so to speak, of God himself. We're going to see there are a number of other ideas that are expressed both in the Shira, Shiras Moshe, the Oz Yoshe, and in the Shiras Devorah. Now, time has come to learn a few psukim. I'm not cheating you. Let's go. Udvara Isha Nivya, in chapter 4, pasuk 4, Dvara Isha Nivya, Eshet Lapida. Now, I remember that this is a class in Shoftim, so we have to cover the text and the text of this chapter and the Shira magnificent. So, worthwhile we should go through it. Dvara, who was a woman, a prophetess, the only person who appears in all of Sefer Shoftim who is a prophet or a prophetess. There are no other Nevi'im in all of Sefer Shoftim. We're talking about a period of most probably close to 300 years. From the death of Yahushua until Shmuel, only one Nevi'ah that we know of, and that is Devorah. Period of 300 years. There may have been people who had Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, toward the end of this period, of course, is going to be Shimshon. And Shimshon was an extremely unique person who was endowed and graced with the divine spirit in him. It says, "Vatochel ruach Hashem lefamo," the spirit of God began to beat within him. He was a very, very special person. Did not achieve the level of Navi. The only one is Devorah. Eshet Lapidot. So, of course, there are the two explanations over here, that her husband's name was Lapidot, or she was a woman of flames. Rashi says, Shahitao sepetilot la mikdash, she made the wicks for the Mishkan, the wicks that were used to light the menorah. He shoftai Yisrael beitahi, she was the one who judged Israel at that time. I think I heard Aviv at the end of the Shia talking about the tent of the tent of Sarah, that the light remained from week to week continually. In a sense, she is the Devorah. Here is the Eshet Lapidot. V'yoshevet tachat Tomer Devorah, and she sat under what became known as the Tomer Devorah, the date, the palm tree of Devorah. Bein haRoma and Beit El b'Har Ephraim, between Roma and Beit El in Har Ephraim, that is to the south, immediately to the south of Emek Yisrael. I'm afraid to say that it's Be'ezor Ramallah. Be'ezor Ramallah. Vayalu Elav, and I saw the children of Israel went up to her La Mishpat for judgment. Yes, Sadi. Yeah, Isha Dvara, Isha Nevi'ah. But you may remember something that I said last year. In the Shira's Devorah, Devorah says, Ad Shakamti Devorah, until I, Devorah, arose. This is in Pasuk 7. Ad Shakamti Devorah, until I, Devorah, arose, Shakamti Ein B'Yisrael, I arose as a mother
in Israel. And I said, then take a look, imagine what's happening over here. Here we have one of the most unique women in Jewish history. She is a prophetess. What can be greater than a prophetess? She is a judge. In all the periods in all of Jewish history, one woman who was a judge accepted by all of Israel, and they all came to her. She was a commander-in-chief of the forces of Israel. You understand? A Ramat Kalit. With... Do you hear what's happening? Here is a woman who has achieved unique greatness on so many levels, the kinds of levels where very few men achieve greatness. To be not only a commander-in-chief, not only a judge, but also a Nevi'ah. So she could have said that when I, Devorah, arose, there arose a commander-in-chief in Israel. When I, Devorah, arose, there arose a judge in Israel. When I, Devorah, arose, there arose a prophetess in Israel. What name does she choose for herself? What title does she? Aim be Israel, a mother in Israel. Because Devorah sees that all of this greatness, good, good. But to be a Yiddish mama is, say, in a sense, greater than them all, or maybe to say that to be a Yiddish mama really encompasses all of the greatness of judge, prophetess, and commander-in-chief, because that's what a Yiddish mama is. A commander-in-chief, there's no doubt about it. She rules. She governs. She orders, she instructs, she is the one that fights the struggles of her family. Life is a battle, you need a commander-in-chief. A mother is the one who has to be able to judge between children, all of the little and the big problems that arise. Somebody has to judge, somebody has to have the sense of balance to be able to return the equilibrium of a family to what it should be. And doesn't a mother have as a prophetic kind of an intuition? You can call, a child can call on the phone from Velcha Hore Choshech, and the connection is a bad connection, and the mom is able to sense in that little voice that she hears from a few thousand miles away, she can hear that there's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's an intuition. So therefore, Devorah says, when I arose, all of the great accomplishments of Devorah are all subsumed one word, two letters, aim. Ad shakamti Devorah, shakamti aim be Israel. All right, let's go. Isn't that nice? And she forgot her question already. I got it. Yes.
Did she? Do we know who her children were? Did she actually have children, or was she an aim to all of Israel?
She's the mother of all of Israel.
I was just wondering whether she had.
I don't know. I'd have to look in the Medrash and find out what the There must be more information that we have about her that is brought by the Medrash. Okay, but I'll try and do some homework. Let's go further. Yes, so they would come up to her lamishpat, and the halacha says that a woman is kosher lamishpat between men and fellow men in the event that the two parties to the dispute accept her. They say to her, yes, we will accept your judgment, so she functioned as a judge. She sent and she called Baruch ben Avinon from Kedesh Naphtali. The land of Naphtali is just the area that's Emek Yisrael and above. She said to Alot Tzivar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, God of Israel has commanded Lechu Moshachta Bahar Tavor, go and draw your forces to Mount Tavor, v'lakachtim chaseret alafim ish, and take 10,000 men with you, mibnei Naphtali, umibnei Zvulun, from the tribes of Naphtali and Zvulun. Moshachti eilech, and God says, I am going to draw out the battle to you, el nachal kishon, to the river of Kishon at Sisra, Tsar, Tzvo, Yavin. Sisra, the commander-in-chief of the forces of Yavin, Bet Richpo, Bet Hamono, his chariots and his masses, Unetatiu Biyadecha, and I'm going to give him over into your hands. Nahal Kishon is toward the eastern end of Emek Yisrael, about 7 kilometers from Afula. Yomer Ela, Barak, Barak said to him, Telchimi, if you will go with me, Bahalachti, I will go. Lo Telchimi, if you don't go with me, Lo Eilech, I won't go. Tomei, she said, Haloch Eilechi, Mach, I will go with you. Ephes, however, you should know, Kilo Tietif, Artefala, Derech Asher Atah Olech, this will not be a source of glory for you, this road upon which you go. Kibiyat Isho Yimkor Hashem et Sisra, God is going to give Sisra into the hands of a woman. Tokom Dvorah, Dvorah arose, Vatelechim Barak, she went with Barak Kedisha to Kadesh. Kadesh. We will talk yet about the word Tifartecha, but that will have to wait. Vayazeg Barak et Zvulun bet Naphtali Kedisha, Vayal Beradlev Aseret Alfeish Vatalimo Dvorah. Barak gathered, he sent out criers, a call to the people of Zvulun and Naphtali. They joined him, they followed him. And Dvorah went with him. V'chever hakeni nifrad mikayim imrei chovav chotei Moshe layet ahalo ad elon b'tzan anim ashed et kedesh. Here the pasuk is preparing us for what will come later. Chever hakeni, who had separated himself from the family of Kayin, which were the family of Chovav and Yeter and Yitro, they had been living in Yericho, Ir HaTamarim. They had been living in Yericho, and some of them left. They were a nomadic people, and now they were encamped not far from Kadesh. And they had also had peaceful relations with Sisra and Yavin Melechatzah. Ayakidu to Sisra, and they told Sisra, Ki Ola Borah ben Avinom Har Tavor. It was told to Sisra that Borah ben Avinom has gone up to Har Tavor. Vayazek Sisra, Kol Richbo Tsha, Meutrech, and Bazel, and Kol Ha'om, Asher Ito, Mecharoshet Hagoyim al Nahal Kishon. Sisra gathered together all of his 900 chariots and all of the people that were with him. From Charoshet HaGoyim, which is at the western end of Emek Yisrael, he begins the journey along Emek Yisrael. He begins the journey going from west to east. Barak and Dvorah are on Har Tavor. He's coming across right smack through the middle of the valley. Rode the 900 chariots on their way to Har Tavor. Tomei Dvorah el Barak, Dvorah said to Barak, Kum, arise, ki zeh yom asher natan Hashem et Sisra biyadecha. This is the day that God has given Sisra into your hands. Hallo Hashem yotzol v'nechot, the whole God has gone out before you. Vayeded Barak mehar Tavor, and Barak came down from Har Tavor, v'aseret alafim ish acharav, and 10,000 men after him. Pasuk Tetvav, very fascinating pasuk. Here is a pasuk that immediately brings to mind the struggle at the Yam Suf, but with one most significant difference. And on the more than that, I'm going to point out that there are two parts to this pasuk. One that brings to mind immediately the struggle at the Yam Suf, and the other, the Battle of Amalek. Watch. Vayohom Hashem et Sisra, and God confused Sisra that kol ha-machane, and the entire camp, lefi chore, lefi cherev, lefnei barak. Same words we have in the Sedra. Vayohom et machane mitzchayim. God confused machane mitzchayim. The only thing is, by machane mitzchayim, it does not say lefi cherev, by the blade of a sword. Where does it say lefi cherev in the Sedra? You know where it says it? I told you earlier in the Shia to remember the pasuk at the end by Amalek. Vayachalo Yoshua et Amalek bet Amo lefi cherev. Vayoham in this pasuk brings to mind the miraculous, the wondrous events at the Yam Suf. Lefi cherev brings to mind the human struggle, the battle between Yehoshua and Amalek. And do you know what's happening over here? They're now both in one. God is acting in his concealed, wondrous fashion. But how do we see it down here? It's lefi cherev. God is confusing the
camp of Sisera lefi charev. Now he is acting through the sword of Barak. That's what's happening over here. So that the Pasuk has put together the terms of that are used in the first struggle and in the second struggle, because the battle over here is a combination of the two. God and man waging war against the enemies of God and man. And Sisera got off his chariot and he fled by foot. Barak pursued the chariots and the camp. Can you imagine what's happening over here? Reverse. Where was Barak? Barak ben Avinom and his forces were on Har Tavor. Sisera is coming from where? From Charoshet HaGoyim, which is near Yoknaam, Zichron Yaakov, Tanach, Megiddo. He travels from west to east to the eastern end of Emek Yisrael, Har Tabor. That's where the Emek ends and the Har begins. He comes down, Barak and Devorah come down from Har Tabor, and you know what? Where is Sisera on his way now? He is on his way all the way back to Charoshet HaGoyim. He is being pursued. His forces are being pursued. Kamo Shamati. Osim, Nosim, Nasim. They flee the reverse.
Yeah, but he deserts his
of course he deserts it, because it's all over. The just deserts. Poor deserters. You're right. Vayipol kol machane Sisera lefi cheret again. The entire camp of Sisera falls lefi cheret. Lo nishar ad echad. In the Sedra it says lo nishar bahem ad echad. Even one. So therefore, you have to understand that the pshuto shel mikra, the simple meaning of the pasuk in the Sedra, is that nobody remained. Yes, there's a medrash that says that one remained, and that was Parah. In a sense, over here, not a single one remains, but Sisera is still fleeing. But the end will be that not a single one remains.
About the other tribes at the time, they were not all involved in that war.
No, they were not all involved.
In fact, they refused to be involved.
So
which is really, shows us that the Klal Yisrael was really not united at all.
So what we're going to find out during the course of the Shira, who was involved, who did come to the aid and the assistance of Barak, who didn't come. Those who did come, we know why they came, but the comment that you're making is absolutely, absolutely true. During the entire period of the Shoftim, a tribe or a number of tribes act separately, autonomously, yes, and they are not yet a united people. It's going to take until the time of Shmuel, and then finally in the time of David, where the tribal divisions, for all intents and purposes, come to an end. That's a process, and the process takes a great deal of time. There's a process here of 300 years during which they are still conquering parts of Eretz Yisrael, removing the enemy from within their midst, entering into relationships with fellow tribes. This is a whole process. History just doesn't turn tribes into a people, especially since each tribe had something unique and very special to contribute to that body called Klal Yisrael. The fact is that even La'atid La'vohen, it may not be too far up the line that in order for the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel to be min ha-Torah, there are opinions that say that you need representatives of all of the 12 tribes in Eretz Yisrael. Not only do you need the majority of Jews in the world living in Eretz Yisrael, you need representatives of all of the tribes. That means, yes, the Aseres HaShvatim are coming back.
That's why they brought the Ethiopians.
That's all right. That's why they brought the Ethiopians. This was the commercial Shevet Dan. Yes, Shevet Dan.
Here they only say that the Yisrael,
it's very good.
It doesn't mean that they
remember. It, as we read the text over here, he only called upon Zvulun and Naphtali. So I say the relationship of the other tribes to this whole struggle is going to have to wait until we get into the Shira. I think we've gone over. Okay, there's more time next week.